The dictionary defines the word hate as meaning to hold in very strong dislike, to bear malice, to be extremely adverse. English synonyms for the word hate include unfavorable, untoward, antipathy, repugnance, loathing, and abhorrence. This emotion, this human orientation called hate, is, of course, much older than any word used in our modern English language. The word hate, in fact, appears rather frequently in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. If you know your Bible well, you will recall that the patriarch Isaac was hated over disputed water rights, no small issues in a dry climate like the Near East. Joseph, with his cloak of many colors and clearly his father's favorite son, was hated by his own jealous brothers. Jephthah was also hated by his brothers, but in his case it was because he was illegitimate. Absalom, the beloved son of King David, hated his half-brother Amnon because Amnon had raped his half-sister Tamar. And Amnon's lust for Tamar turned to hate immediately after he had degraded her. Ahab hated the prophet Micaiah because he refused to prophesy according to the king's preferences. It is also very clear from the prophets, the Psalms, and the sages that the righteous should always hate evil, just as the wicked do hate the one true God. And it is equally clear that God Almighty hates the worship of false gods, any superstitious worship, and God certainly hates all injustice, especially to the weak and the little ones. Jesus teaches us in the language of the New Testament that anyone who hates his brother is living in darkness, and that it is a lie to say that you could ever love God and still hate your neighbor. Hate, after all, is an acid, a self-consuming poison. Hateful men usually hurt themselves much more than the very folks they think they hate. But as we just heard in the words taken from today's Holy Gospel according to John, this world, still governed by evil, hates Jesus Christ and will hate all those who are loyal to him. So like a great teacher, like a challenging coach, Jesus is trying to prepare his men for what they were certainly going to face, namely the malice of this world. So it should be no surprise to us that many in this world do hate us. Some will rage and fume when we defend the sanctity of all human life, the commitments of marriage, the complementary nature of gender, the rights of the poor, the dignity of the aged and infirm. Well-organized, powerful social forces regularly oppose our charitable institutions, our hospitals, and our schools. The entertainment industry rather often mocks and disdains the consecrated life of religious sisters and brothers. The Catholic priesthood is relentlessly attacked, and the teachings of our Holy Father the Pope are often ridiculed and usually deliberately distorted. Even more disconcerting, but perhaps predictable, the world's mass media frequently makes sacrilegious fun of the holiest things of our religion. The incomparable grace of the Most Blessed Sacrament, our reverence for the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints, even the person of the Savior, are now fair game for the popular pundits of our culture. No one should ever mock somebody else's religion, but have you noticed that while it is politically incorrect to in any way be disrespectful towards the Dalai Lama, even dangerous to dare to slight the memory of the Prophet Muhammad, and now considered open-minded to be interested in astrology and ghosts and spiritualism, almost 24 hours a day and just about 7 days a week, the Catholic Church takes it on the chin. Now, the mass media was generally positive about our Holy Father's recent visit to America, but just as generally, from HBO, even the History Channel, CNN, even the National Geographic Channel, good words about our faith are the exception rather than the rule. But as Jesus teaches us, no slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. They will do all these things to you on my account, on the account of my name. I wonder if you know that when new soldiers were recruited in the legions of ancient Rome, they first took a sacred oath. In the Latin language, it was called a sacramentum. It was a public vow to be loyal to the emperor, even unto death. Our Catholic theological word, sacrament, comes from this ancient military word for a vowed loyalty. So in the tradition of the Church of Rome, Catholic believers make public promises, but to a much greater ruler than any king or emperor. In the holy sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, those who follow Christ promise to adhere unswervingly to his gospel. As Christian milites, as soldiers of Christ, all the faithful are called to be brave and vigilant, disciplined, ready to endure any hardship, and to bravely face all the enemies of the truth, fight every foe who opposes the faith, even ready to give their lives for their Lord. We must be steadfast and organized, bold and determined in our service. Christ, our head and leader, willingly gave everything for us, so we should always be ready to give everything for him. My brothers, I guess this has always been a crazy world, but in our spiritual combat, we must never use the weapons of the evil spirit, but only the weapons of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you have in you one who is greater than anyone who is in this world. We belong to Jesus Christ and his gospel of love, and the invincible weapons of love have been described in the scriptures in the following way. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not put on airs. It is not snobbish. Love is never rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not prone to anger. Neither does it brood over injuries. Love does not rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices in the truth. There is no limit to love's forbearance, to its trust, its hope, its power to endure. Love never fails. Brothers, we should neither be fearful nor hateful, but we should also not be blind or passive. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of the victorious power of God's love, the awesome love that the Holy Spirit abundantly pours into the hearts of all those who believe. In the Mass, we share in the sacrament of Christ's love, all the infinite power of his life-giving death and his glorious resurrection is truly renewed and made present in our midst. St. John Chrysostom once taught that at the conclusion of a privileged time together for the worship and praise of our great and good God, that when we leave church, nourished by the sacraments, fed at the altar of the Lord, we should rise up like lions, breathing fire and ready to strike terror to the demons and every enemy of Christ. We have nothing to fear. We have a lot to do, and we have everything to gain. So may we all be strong and valiant, better men, more loving husbands, both gentle and strong fathers, loyal sons and brothers, ardent Catholics, unswerving soldiers of Christ, faithful and true disciples of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, whose own love and courage, whose gift to us of friendship, whose personal invitation to belong to Him gives eternal significance to every moment of our existence in time and in eternity.